Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
Hello.
And welcome back to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/ Steven Larson. Available wherever podcasts can be found, and of course, taped live the Twitch at twitch.tv/ Steven Larson, where we had our Backlash 2022 watch along. Big shout out to the Enforcer. Big shout out to the friendos. Big shout out to you and me and everybody. It's great. It's awesome.
It's awesome.
Fun time. It's a fun time.
I'm going to review this show in one sentence. It was better than Backlash 2018.
Name a show that was worse than Backlash 2018.
Well, I mean, there's that ECW, the December to Dismember. Is that what it was?
I would hazard a guess that might have been better than Backlash 2018.
Maybe, but Backlash 2018 was pretty lousy. This
2022 was it was actually a pretty fun show.
It was
show.
A fun show. Six matches. It was a breezy three-hour program. All the matches were fun. Some of them quite excellent. And I would venture to say that all the WrestleMania rematches were better than the matches that preceded. As in, matches at Backlash, the rematch of WrestleMania matches were better at Backlash.
I don't disagree with that at all. And this is actually something that's not atypical of WWE. They hype up a big match and the match happens and they do a rematch and the rematch is better.
Yeah.
Whether it's on Raw or the subsequent pay-per-view. Yeah, absolutely. And on top of that, like for what seemed to be a fairly inconsequential pay-per-view, ended up being relatively consequential. I mean, we had Charlotte Flair, who seemingly has been written off of TV for a spell because of a fracture to her radius.
Yeah, muscle or non-muscle bone, your forearm, I believe.
Right. to her circumference. You know, Ronda Rousey did walk out SmackDown Women's Champion after a vicious armbar.
It was a really physical, brutal match, too.
Match of the night. You know, for as little heat, steam, if you will, that this feud has had behind it. The actual match, you gotta admit, was a killer match.
It was a lot of fun.
Tons of fun.
But now with Charlotte written off, I guess the question is, where does Charlotte or Ronda go next? I assume Charlotte, you know, if they stick to the realistic estimate of the healing time for broken radius in terms of how long she'll be out of action, so for, you know, like several months. Or a few months at least. Then Ronda's got to move on to another feud through the summer. Who is that going to be?
There's any number of possibilities here. I mean, I doubt they would do this because I think that whoever Ronda is going to face next is going to not win the title. I think one great option once they're done with the tag situations, gotta be, and I don't know if they're gonna do this, but Shayna Baszler? Yeah,
they really should do that.
Like, how great would that be? I would love to see that. Awesome. You gotta elevate Shayna to where she really should be, and that's a main eventer, somebody who's contending for that title. You know that it would be on them to put on some really good matches.
Yeah.
That could be really good, but dude, I mean, look at that. I mean, there's any number of people. My vote would be for Shayna. I mean, Bayley's got to be coming back soon, but you got to think Bayley maybe for Money in the Bank.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, either in the match or the match for Ronda at Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
But I'd love to see Bayley winning that Money in the Bank briefcase.
Oh, that'd be a lot of fun. Yeah.
That's 2 months away. Charlotte could win Money in the Bank and get that title back from Ronda.
Entirely possible. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how long of a title run Ronda is going to have now. Mm-hmm. You know, is she going to stick around till Mania next year? Is she just going to stick around through the summer? We don't know these things.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's entirely possible that whoever wins Money in the Bank ends up cashing in on her. Or she holds the title till WrestleMania next year and Becky Lynch beats her for it. So,
yeah, it's a possibility. Absolutely. Let's talk about this. The main event, of course, saw a six-man action. Now, this was originally going to be title unification. Now, well, that was a big deal, and you and I were both kind of bummed out.
So, according to Meltzer, that was they advertised it, but never the plan. Never, they were never actually going to do it.
So, the plan was to advertise it and then change it.
That's according to Dave.
Like, let's say that's true. That's dumb. I don't like that. Maybe they did think, oh, we'll advertise this one thing, and it won't be cool enough. I really like the idea, but whatever. Yeah. I mean, it's WWE. Hey, look, if that's true, I at least like that they have a plan. I might disagree with the execution or what the actual plan is, but I like that they would have a plan. I like if that's a plan, I like that better than it not being the plan. You know?
All right.
Then advertising and then changing something, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess. I don't like it either way.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they say cards up the chain, so.
So, Roman Reigns got the pin on Matt Riddle.
Yeah.
In a wildly fun
match. It was really fun. Tons of fun.
That was a really fun match.
But I think you and I both assumed that this would be the match that Drew and RK-Bro would win, and therefore Drew could go on SmackDown on Friday and say, hey, Roman, I beat you. My team beat yours at Backlash. Now, title shot for me. You know?
Yeah, right.
And it's right there. Yeah, ready made. Done. You can just proceed with that feud. Now that RK-Bro and Drew have lost this match, other than Drew just being like, hey, you know, I should just get a title shot because not a whole lot of justification for it. We just saw that Nakamura on SmackDown said he's not done with Bloodline. So is there a possibility here where they could do Roman Nakamura for the June show, Hell in a Cell, and then maybe have Drew and Money in the Bank? And someone here in chat during our watch-along brought this up. Drew wins Money in the Bank and says, I'm cashing in at Clash at the Castle in Wales. And then have this match bang set up right there.
I think that's a great idea. I mean, I don't know if they're still interested in Drew McIntyre versus Tyson Fury.
Well, I know Drew's interested in it. He's been pushing that for a while. And I think after Tyson Fury won his last fight, someone asked him about showing up in WWE, and he's like, yeah, maybe. So.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, look, I'll put it this way. And I don't know. Look, you want to blow the roof off a place. You have Drew pick up, like, I don't know, like the Raw title, but then he's not on Raw. So that doesn't, I don't know why, how they could do that. Mm. The bottom line is I don't see Drew McIntyre beating Roman Reigns for the Undisputed Champion, for the Universal Championship. And on top of that pay-per-view, I mean, it's great and everything, but like, I don't know if they would do that at a pay-per-view where the time difference is so weird. It's so wonky, you know? It's like, because that's going to be our time. It's going to be like the afternoon our time.
Yeah. Well, if it's like
late morning.
It'd be late morning.
Our time, late morning, afternoon.
Well, I mean, it'd be like the Saudi shows. It'd be a couple hours later or an hour or two later.
Yeah, shit happens there, I guess, huh?
Yeah,
that's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point.
All the time. So I'm less worried about that. And if, you know, and I think that would be seen, hey, with these Saudi shows, you can have shows where stuff happens and people, I guess, will still tune in. So maybe the old excuse of the time zones in terms of not having pay-per-views in the United Kingdom out the window.
Yeah. Yeah. The bigger thing is Drew pinning Roman Reigns.
I know. That would be the deal. Now, I guess the alternative is it's Drew that actually isn't in Money in the Bank, feuds with Roman through the summer, and then come time for Clash of the Castle, then they pivot Drew to the Tyson Fury thing, and then by that point, Roman has a new challenger. Who knows? I mean, at some point, this seems like this has to be the feud to some extent for the summer for Roman, because Drew's like the only guy on SmackDown really that's a face they've built up enough to be a legit challenger to Roman Reigns at this juncture. So he kind of has to be the guy.
I'm wondering if maybe, I mean, is Drew versus Roman at Money in the Bank? And then in the meantime, at Hell in a Cell, it's like Drew versus an Uso or something like that, you know, to get him there. Maybe that's the situation. I could see that possibly being the situation. So, yeah, I think that might be that might be something. Because it also feels, I mean, I don't know what they're going to do. Like, Men's Money in the Bank. I mean, Cody's my early favorite for that.
I mean, he did the promo for the show tonight.
He did the promo for the show tonight. Yeah. I mean, they, you know, the most complex contract in WWE history.
Yes.
So he's going to be a featured guy. And again, Cody winning tonight against Seth Rollins, using the same thing Seth literally tried to do to him moments earlier. Handful of tights. Cody reverses the roll up, the backwoods, if you will.
Yeah.
Handful of tights, and he wins using Seth's own tactics. Mm-hmm. It seems like this is a match that this is a feud that could continue at Hell in a Cell. Or do you think they're going to drop it? I feel like they got to keep this going, right?
It could. It definitely could. And it'd be something else if Cody comes in and wins three straight against Seth Rollins.
That would be something. That'd be nuts.
That'd be pretty crazy. Not,
that's what. I didn't. I went.
You went low on Cody.
I went two confidence points on Cody because I figured this is going to be a trifecta, and Seth would, you know, I was like, I would not be surprised if Seth Rollins wins, but like, you know, it's Cody and Sherna, and that logic, just it's Cody proved out.
Yeah,
he got the win with the handful of tights, which is great.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angie.com.
But yeah, coming in three wins over Seth Rollins, if that's the case, if they do this, and especially at Hell in a Cell.
It's pretty huge for Cody.
It's a pretty big deal.
One other story beat, significant story beat happened tonight. During the AJ Styles Edge match, so towards the end, Damian Priest, though he was barred from ringside, came down to about as close to ringside as you can get at the foot of the ramp. Enough to distract AJ for a moment. And then a hooded individual.
Ooh, I loved masked attackers.
Yeah, it was great. Comes out, pushes AJ off the top while the ref isn't looking. Leads Edge to put on the deal on AJ. Eventually went with a bulldog choke. Edge got the win afterwards. This masked attacker was unmasked, and it was Rhea Ripley. Now, we had heard that there was rumors when Ed first started forming this Judgment Day stable that Rhea was amongst the names considered to join it. It's happened now. I think it's a pretty good addition. Rhea is a really good heel. They need to figure out whatever Edge is doing to make it more interesting. But I think heel Rhea is gonna be wildly successful.
I could totally see this should be, I would think, a pay-per-view match. Has there been like a six-man mixed tag thing? Because you got Finn and AJ. Now Edge has Priest and Rhea, Liv Morgan perhaps joining Bullet Club, if you will. And for that potential match.
Yeah, it could be.
Priest would eat the... I mean, look... AJ's got to get some sort of win here. And if it happens, it's going to happen in that sort of situation where Priest is the guy eating the pin.
You know, I had thought that maybe they were going to have AJ's whole thing is, Edge, I can beat you one-on-one, but someone always costs me the match. Happened to Mania, he's going to say the same thing on Raw tomorrow night, probably. That they'd have their blow-off match in Hell in a Cell with no interference, and AJ would get his win there. Now, it's entirely possible that doesn't happen. If they're really into this Edge faction thing.
It seems like they are. Like, yeah, I would be kind of shocked, and I've said this since he became blue.
Yeah.
I'd be kind of shocked if I see Edge get pinned or tapped out by anybody. AJ's, look, man, AJ's great, but it's kind of like the Cody Rollins thing. Like, Rollins typically doesn't eat a whole ton of losses. He eats losses, but not a ton of them. Edge feels like a guy who they're going to take to the next level. Cody's a guy who they're going to take to the next level. And it looks like AJ and Finn, to a degree, are the guys that they're going to use to get there. I don't know that AJ comes out with a win here.
It's entirely possible that doesn't happen, yeah. But
yeah.
The story's there if they want to do that, though, at Hell in a Cell. If they can do it in the cage and no one interferes and AJ gets the win, and it makes sense.
Yeah, I like the scenario here in chat. We've got AEW Bot 4445 says Cody versus Seth in Hell in a Cell. Cody finds a sledgehammer under the ring and pedigrees Seth onto it. That's a convincing win right there.
That would be a convincing win. That's like something straight out of a video game.
Right. Yeah. No, that's the only thing it's missing. It's got to be on the top of the cage, and then he drops pedigree
through
the
cell to the and the sledgehammer is on the mat, so he falls all the way through the cell, then hits sledgehammer on mat. Yes.
Right, exactly. And then he glitches out of the ring. So, yeah, that's good. So let's just go ahead and dive into it, you know, because we've already mentioned, look, man, there's a lot of good wrestling on the show tonight. Credit to the talent in WWE. Well, they can go, man.
And that's the thing with sometimes these B-level pay-per-views, if you will, that the expectations are low. They're briskly paced. There's only a handful of matches, six matches tonight. They give each match time. And as you said, you give these performers time to perform, they knock it out of the park.
They really do. They really do. And yeah, and dude, I love the few number of matches, lots of time. You're absolutely right. Opened up with Seth Rollins versus Cody Rhodes. Again, you know, like you said, I think this might have been better than their WrestleMania match.
Yeah, I think so. And their Mania match was pretty good, but this felt crisper. You know, the story of this, of course, going in was Seth's like, well, I lost at Mania because you were a surprise opponent. I didn't have time to prepare. Now I'll have time to prepare. And early on, it kind of worked out that way, where fairly often Cody was going for some offensive maneuver. Seth had an answer to it. Down the stretch, though, we get the teases for pedigrees, get a couple of those. Eventually, though, so Cody goes up for a moonsault, misses that. Seth does hit a pedigree. That gets a two count. Then he starts blasting Cody's head with Kawada kicks. Just repeatedly.
Yeah. And they're just talking shit the whole time.
Yeah, too. And he does, you know, Dusty's thing. He's going for the bionic elbow.
Yeah.
Cody instead catches him with the crossroads. He's going for another. Seth pokes him in the eyes to escape. So Cody set him for a vertebraker, and I would be absolutely shocked if he ever gets to use that move in WWE. But he's set up for it. Seth escapes.
You got to figure, at some point, he's got to actually hit it, right?
Maybe when Vince isn't looking. I don't know.
I hate that move. That move and the unprettier. I hate those moves.
At least the vertebraker looks like it really messed you up.
I know. So, yeah, I'm prettier, doesn't.
No, not really. So Seth, except when Grayson Waller did it on NXT 2.0.
Yeah, right.
So Seth escapes the vertebraker. He looks for a roll-up with a handful of tights. Cody, though, kicks out into his own to roll-up with a handful of tights to get the win. Really fun
battle. Seth was shocked, and Cody's just sitting there with a big old shit-eating grin. That was good stuff. It was a very Cody moment right there. Always playing with the heel face dynamic, that Cody.
Yep.
After that, we had Amos versus Bobby Lash. So we kind of figured how this was going to go. Now that Amos has surrounded himself with people, namely MVP, who knows all about. He knows where the ref's at. He knows where the ref's eyes are, and he's got that cane with him. The entire match from like 3 minutes in, MVP was up on that apron. The ref was close to throwing him out. But he just kept on nudging him. At one point, Lashley had Amos in a pretty precarious position. His hands in the rope. Of course, all he's got to do, Larson, is just do this. But he's still pretty green. He doesn't really know what's going on there. So that was one moment where Lashley had Amos on the ropes. Amos is able to get out of that. The finish, of course, saw Lashley looking for a suplex. Amos escapes that. Lashley hits a spine buster. Looking for a spear. Instead, he runs into Amos's knee. Amos grabs him, sends him into the post. While the referee's not paying attention, MVP comes over there, hits Lashley with the cane on the head, and then Amos hits his finish for the win.
At one point, Lashley got the hurt lock in on Amos. So what happened prior to that? I think he was hitting him with a bunch of strikes. No. Mm-hmm. Something happened. So anyway, he hits him with a flatliner. That's right.
Yeah.
And so Amos is kind of getting up. He's on his knees, and Lashley puts the hurt lock on him. And then Amos stands up and just rams him into the corner and eventually breaks the hole that way. But, you know, as a match where Lashley was in it, he probably would have won it had MVP not gotten involved.
Yeah. Basically. Yeah. Yeah, the hurt lock. I was surprised that they let somebody actually get out of the hurt lock. Yeah. That was a pretty big moment for Amos.
It was. Then we got AJ Styles versus Blue Edge. AJ was dominating early, except he's going for that phenomenal form early. Edge boots him off the rope. He falls, starts selling the shoulder that Edge hurt 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, I get
that's
it.
That's still such a weird story.
It's such beat. A weird story beat for an injury 2 years ago that's, like, healed. Yeah, and, like, right. There was no backstory to injury. It was a legit injury that happened in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways. Yeah. But, like, apparently that's a weakness for AJ. Anyways, a lot of good back and forth. I think this match was way better than the WrestleMania one because it had a good pace to it. The WrestleMania one was a bit plodding.
Yeah. Again with this faction though. So like Damian Priest comes out. So of course he's banned at ringside. And this faction is like this weird dichotomy of like we are the mountain of omnipotence, which now Edge has a literal mountain range on his tights.
Yeah. Across his rear end and hips.
But then you have like the pedestrian as well because Damian comes out. And AJ's like, what the hell? You're banned from ringside. He says, no, look, there's the border to ringside, which is the most childish I'm not touching you thing you could do. Yeah. It's enough to distract AJ. Of course, Finn comes down. He attacks. Their brawl goes into the ring. They tumble to the floor. And then as the ref is sort of paying attention to that, mass attacker shows up. Of course, it's Rhea Ripley, pushes AJ off the top. Edge is able to slap on the deal. AJ reaches for the rope. Edge switches it up to a bulldog choke. And then the ref calls for the bell. Edge wins. Masked wrestler gets on the apron, gets in the ring, kneels to Edge. Kneel. And then he's like, rise, my child. And then she unmasks. It is Rhea Ripley. And now she's got black hair.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you should have done it purple, but that's okay.
Yeah.
You helped me win today.
Yes. Yes.
So, yeah.
After that, we got Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte Flair in an I Quit match. This match was physical. They beat the heck out of each other.
They went up. I love there was a bunch of callbacks, too. They went up into the crowd, were brawling, and Charlotte had Ronda bent through the guardrail. The handrail, rather, up one of the aisles. Just like she had with Sasha Banks all those years.
Well, Sasha beat her at one of
those. Sasha beat. Yeah, right. Match, yeah, the other way around. Yeah.
That they had by putting her in the bank statement through the handrail. Yeah, there's a lot of great spots here. They go up to the stage, brawl with some kendo sticks. They go brawl into the crowd, and that's when the handrail spot happens. Eventually, they make it back down to ringside. Ronda has a chair. She takes a swing at Charlotte. Charlotte boots it, and then rams Ron to the announce table and then power bombs her into the barricade. And that looked like that sucked.
Yeah.
So Charlotte goes up the top rope looking for a moonsault. Ronda sweeps at her feet. So Charlotte falls into the tree of woe, but she's falling down towards the apron, not towards the ring. Mm-hmm. And so Ronda gets and locks on the arm bar. And we think, okay, this is it, because she's like pushing against the ring post to get extra torque on the arm bar. And then she really, torques back cranks on it, cranks it quite a bit. And we thought, okay, that's it. Charlotte doesn't quit. Eventually, Charlotte gets the advantage. She hits a natural selection on top of a chair, locks on the figure eight, but there happens to be that chair right there next to Ronda. So she grabs it, hits Charlotte in the knee with it to break the hold. Charlotte hits her with a boot, sets up the chair, and then she starts talking trash.
To break the hold, he says. One thing I'll point out while Larson is frozen here, there is all sorts of great shit talk via the microphone. When the ref had the microphone, but it was kind of there we go. I was just explaining while you were frozen here for a second.
I heard you.
We don't have to edit this stuff. I loved all the shit talking with the microphone. You know, at one point, Ronda was like, screw that. Give me the microphone and all sorts of great shit talk via the convention of do you give up?
Do you give up?
I thought
up?
That was
exactly.
really cool.
And it came to play at the end. Yeah. So Charlotte takes the mic and says, all right. She set up a chair. She kind of sits on it. This is your last chance. And by the way, Ronda, happy Mother's Day. And in like one fluid motion, Ronda grabs Charlotte, grabs her arm through the chair, locks on the arm bar, And at first, Charlotte's like, no, no, no. And then Charlotte or Ronda's like, oh, I was hoping you'd say that. And then she really cranks on it.
Yeah.
Charlotte says, I quit. Kayfabe, broken arm for Charlotte.
Yeah. No, man, I thought that was a really, really entertaining match. I thought they both did a great job. And yeah, hopefully, you know what, man? Hopefully this does sort of kick a little pep in the step of Ronda Rousey with her promos. Mm-hmm. Whatever she's going to be doing next.
And maybe be in a feud with Shayna next. Someone she knows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Well, no, that's a great point because, like, not only the matches, but also the story, they're both going to be motivated. They're both going to be coming up with ideas. They mm-hmm. know each other. They've known each other for years. They're best friends. Mm-hmm. I mean, man, that's a feud that, and who knows? Maybe they would be hesitant to get in a feud against each other.
I mean, they had, when Ronda came back, they had that bit in the rumble,
yeah,
between the two of them. So
yeah,
hopefully
I would love to see that.
Oh, absolutely, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So after that match, we had our cool down match, Happy Corbin versus Madcap Moss. Short
joke.
Short. Corbin got basically all his shit in, save for a end of days, and mm-hmm. that's how you knew that he was going to lose via roll up, and that's what happened. Riddick Moss hits him with a sunset flip. Like Corbin's busting out new stuff. He did a senton in here.
I love you said. He said that was almost basically a made in Japan.
He almost did Shingo Takagi's finish. Yeah.
If he sat down with it, it would have been made in Japan. It
pretty much would have been made in Japan. Yeah. Yep.
Corbin is one of those, and his character work is so damn on point.
It always
like
is.
The entire match. He was desperate. He was frustrated. And Moss was crisp. That finish, the sunset flip, it was so smooth. Crisp, dude. It was so smooth. Moss is so good in the ring.
He is. White Brownie here says, Ronda and Sasha and Naomi had a match against Shayna and Natalya and Charlotte last night at the house show. So,
Oh, that's interesting.
Hopefully
that's
a sign
cool.
of feuds to come.
Oh, I would love to see that. The women's division is absolutely stacked there. Mm-hmm. And I know Shayna and Natalya, wouldn't shock me if this match happened. Has this been advertised yet, the women's tag match?
Yeah, it's next week. It's next week.
It is next week on SmackDown.
Yeah, they announced it on SmackDown, yeah.
Okay, cool, right on. So, like we said, Moss pinned Corbin with that sunset flip. Enforcer pointed this out as well. Because Money in the Bank is in Vegas, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're heading mm-hmm. back there. Is it an Allegiant? Is that right?
Yeah, it's in the football, the Raider Stadium. Yeah,
it's in the big stadium. Vegas is where it started.
Mm-hmm.
Vegas has got to be where we get bum ass Corbin.
You'd think so.
Oh, I'd love it. He's won everything there. A year later, he loses everything there.
I know.
Maybe at the hands of Moss. God, isn't that true? It's going to get to the point on SmackDown. Moss was running Corbin down.
Humiliated. Corbin was humiliated.
I felt bad for Corbin. I was like, come on,
that's
man.
That's why I thought he was going to win tonight. You cheat to win tonight. And then from that point
I thought it could go either way. That's why I only had one confidence
point. Yeah, I only had one confidence point on it, too. I didn't feel that great about it. But Corbin walked out of the ring on SmackDown. No physicality.
Right.
Moss was running him down, and Corbin just walked out with his head down. It was like George Michael on Arrested Development.
He covered up his own tattoo.
Yeah.
Because Moss said he looked like a Hot Topic threw up on him.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Yep.
Eviscerated him.
Yeah, he destroyed him.
Yeah.
So then we got a quick little bit where Kayla Braxton's outside Dr. Trainer's office.
Dr. Trainer.
To report that an x-ray show that Charlotte has a broken radius. She'll miss some time. And then we got our main event, Drew McIntyre and RK-Bro taking on the Bloodline. This could have very easily been a six-man tag match main event on SmackDown. It would have been a perfectly fine match.
Mm-hmm.
This was a main event, the pay-per-view, and all these guys delivered. This match was tons of fun.
It was wild fun. Also, by the way, kudos to you, friend, for the revelation of the channel points.
Oh,
who gets pinned? Is that something that we should consider for all matches now?
Well, it only really matters for tag matches and like matches with more than two people in it. Because matches with two people in it, that you're pretty much saying who loses, you know? Doesn't really matter.
No, I agree. But
for tag matches, yeah, something to consider.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of a way it would make it spicier even for singles matches because you're asking like who's losing.
Well, you
could
say
like that just philosophically.
How does a loser lose, like hit with such and such, get hit with such and such finish, or such and such loses via roll up? His opponent loses via roll. We could do stuff like that. Yeah.
So many prediction choices now. We have 10 options.
More opportunities for us to throw away channel points. Because that's what it is. I took a donut tonight.
To reap the huge rewards.
Or that.
Are you kidding me? If you come out of a 10-option bet,
well, that's
if
what happened
you
here.
Win that?
That's what happened
here. I know.
Here. So Riddle took the pin. And, of course, not everybody, but 70%.
60% or something.
About 70% thought either Jay or Jimmy Uso were going to eat the pin. And I think it was 11-12% put channel points on Riddle. Sure enough, Roman hits him with a spear to get the win.
Telling you guys, if you guys aren't watching our watch-alongs, if you guys aren't watching our watch-alongs on Twitch, you got to do it. It's so much fun.
It's a lot of fun. So it's just like this match was a lot of fun. In typical RK bro fashion, Matt Riddle is isolated for a good portion of this bout. A massive portion. And then, so Jay starts taking him lightly, starts preying to the crowd, tells Roman, because Roman is asking, hey, I want to tag in now. And Jay's don't worry. I got this.
We got this cleaner.
I got this, Roman. So he's doing that a bit too much. Riddle hits him with a drop kick. He tags in Drew. Roman gets tagged in too. So we finally get the showdown between the two of them, because earlier Roman tagged in, kind of circled around the ring, then tagged right back out.
Got out, yeah.
So they start throwing hands. Eventually Drew clears house. He's looking for a claymore on Roman. Instead, Jay gets in the ring to distract him. That allows Roman to hit a Superman punch. So Roman just starts going off. Mm-hmm. Goes on a massive run. He gets a little too comfortable. He's preed in. He's holding up his titles in the middle of the match. He punches Riddle off the apron. He's taunted Randy. He turns around, bang, claymore from Drew. Drew doesn't have enough to cover him. So instead, he tags Randy. And, of course, Randy gets a massive pop on the hot tag. Jimmy tags in, too. So since Jimmy was a leading individual point getter, I guess. Most people bet on him. Everyone's like, all right, let's have the finish now. So for the sake of chat, it made it really interesting. Anyways, let's go back to the match. So Randy's going on a run. He hits Jimmy with a draping DDT. He's calling for the RKO. Jay tries to intercept. Randy throws him out of the ring. Roman tries to intercept. Bang, he gets an RKO.
That was a beautiful moment. That was great. That was awesome.
Jimmy super kicks Randy. Randy sells it for half a second. Bang, RKO for Jimmy.
Yeah.
Jay breaks up that pin. So Drew's in. He's looking for a claymore on Jay. Instead, he runs to a super kick. Usos together, super kick Drew, and then Jay has to pull Jimmy to his corner to tag himself in. Riddle gets the tag in too. He goes on a run, hits a floating bro on Jay, gets a two count. So Riddle's calling for the RKO. Instead, Jay counters with the roll up, gets a two count, and then Jay hits a pop up neck breaker. Randy breaks up that pin. He and Jimmy fight out to the floor, and Randy is wrecking Jimmy with shots near the barricade.
Oh, killing him.
He is annihilating him. Roman eventually breaks that up, takes out Randy. Drew then throws Roman into the ring steps, and he's clearing off the announce table. He's looking for a power bomb on Roman through it. Jimmy breaks that up. Roman hits Drew with an Uranagi through the announce table. And then Riddle over the top rope takes out Jimmy and Roman. And then Jay hits Riddle with a suicide dive. So Jay and Riddle get back at the ring. They're trading kicks. Eventually, Jay gets the advantage. He goes to the top rope for a splash. Riddle jumps up there. It hits an RKO off the top. As Jay is descending from the top rope, Roman gets on the apron, tags his foot.
As his foot is flying away from him, the coordination here is nuts because he jumped up as they were going and barely tagged. And you have to go back and watch it because this is such a miracle of coordination. This is why Roman's the best. Mm-hmm. He goes there, he tags him, gets in, spear on Riddle.
To get the win.
And he gets the win, yeah. So for me it was a surprising outcome. I thought that it would be an easier motivating story. Plus you have the drama within the Bloodline, but nah, man, Bloodline stands tall. And they're looking pretty good right now.
Oh yeah. Yep.
So that's a WrestleMania Backlash 2022 for you. Twitch chat, stick around. We'll answer some more of your questions. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Of course, we'll be back tomorrow live on the Twitch at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. And, of course, if you're listening to us in the audio realm, hey, do us a huge favor. Leave us a rating, review, or a comment. It really helps Going In Raw. If you're watching us on the YouTube, give us that thumbs up. Hit that like button. Hit that subscribe button. We'd very much appreciate it.
Indeed.
And until next time, we'll talk to you later.
Goodbye.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.